weekday mornings from 10. This is Jason Mohammed on BBC Radio Wales.
Can you tell the listeners the story of how you helped somebody at the roadside?
So I was walking down the road with a head torch on, strolling down, and I could strongly smell fresh blood. I'm used to smelling blood, but this was very, very strong. As the dust settled and the sort of head torch showed me what I was looking at, I seen a guy on the floor with his push bike, and he'd been hit by a border-border. And the border-borders are the little transport motorbikes that the guys whiz back and forth on.
How badly injured?
He was seriously injured, yes. He had an open fracture of his leg, and his face was a heck of a mess.
Oh, my goodness.
A real heck of a mess. He was shouting and chanting in Lugandan, which is the local dialect. He was rubbing his face with a dirty handkerchief that was mud and blood-sodden.
Was this an accident?
It was an accident, yes, but the border-border had driven off.
Yeah.
He was on the ground in a mess and people were walking past him. I went over to him. I tried to communicate with him, and there was a young girl there that understood some English, an intelligent young girl. So through the medium of translation, she helped me. I got him up on his feet or on his foot, and obviously he was screaming, and I convinced him to go to the local hospital. That was probably about 2 kilometres away. We didn't have transport, so I basically, with the other girl, carried him to the hospital. It was difficult, Jason. I mean, we took him to the hospital. He'd been drinking alcohol, and they refused to treat him because they thought he was dangerous. They thought with the alcohol intake, he wouldn't respond to treatment. He wouldn't stay still. And he was asked through the medium of translation if he had any money to pay for his treatment.
What did he need? Did he need stitching up?
He needed stitching up, yes. He needed local anaesthetic, obviously, to make it easier. He needed some iodine. He needed surgical gloves and sutures and swabs.
Right, OK, so the hospital refused to treat him. What happens
yes.
next?
They left him on the floor in tears and outpatients. So I decided to treat him. I went to the local pharmacy, ironically, which is...
Presumably he's losing blood at this stage, isn't he?
A lot, a lot. He had a white shirt on and it was completely, I'd say, 90-95% red.
So you go to a pharmacy?
I go to the pharmacy, and the pharmacy, would you believe, was run by one of the surgeons from the hospital. That's how corrupt the country is. He didn't have the money, so I paid for the equipment to treat him. I was told by the hospital staff that they wouldn't treat him, and if I wanted to treat him, I could carry on and take him to theatre and sort him out. So I did, because it's inhumane. There's no way I was going to leave him there.
That's just incredible.
No, there's no way.
That is incredible.
It is incredible.
How much money did you have, and what did you buy?
I bought the sutures and the gloves, the surgical gloves. Also local anaesthetic, which obviously would have made it more comfortable for him. I probably spent, Jason, about £3 or £4.
That's all?
That's all. And that, you know, that wouldn't buy you coffee and a cake.
No. But the hospital allowed you to use the theatre?
Yeah, I had to try and find another staff member to help me because obviously, to be honest, he had to be held down, to be infiltrated with local anaesthetic and to be stitched up.
Mm.
And we did it. We cleaned him up. We took him onto the ward and also gave him some antibiotics that I purchased as well. So, yeah, that was, hopefully that was a good deed done.